This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Red Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're there, and you were there for the Dog and Pony Show. Pretty fun. I thought you got a lot of answers. I don't know if there was tons of content, but it's an exciting time just knowing that Ben Johnson is there. And I don't mean just there. He's everywhere. I mean, he was doing the national rounds. Everyone wanted a piece of him, an interview with him, and I thought he did a great job of talking to everyone and of not telling like one story over and over again. You know, this wasn't a guy that came with prepared statements. He answered questions and we got similar answers, but it wasn't like he had memorized a soliloquy like you sometimes hear from guys.
Yeah, I think what you're getting is natural, like, you know, conversation from the guy and evidence that he's comfortable doing that, right? He can communicate, and it's going to be important that that's one of his key skill sets, dealing with his coaching staff, dealing with the personnel side of things, and then dealing with the players, right? And it could, because that's coming fast. Early April is when they can start the voluntary off-season program, so a little bit more than a month off. And there's reason for the Bears to be excited right now. They've got a lot of work to do. But fortunately, I think it's a good thing that they're not generating like the national headlines that they've kind of put together here in recent years as they've been busy collecting some of those off-season trophies that they've had over the last decade plus.
Based on people you're talking to and what you're hearing around the league, based on what Ben Johnson said yesterday of using the Panthers last offseason as somewhat of a model, and they invested $150 million in two offensive linemen to revamp that offensive line, are you expecting the Bears to be that aggressive in free agency? And does that include Trey Smith and possibly Drew Dahlman as the guys at the top of that list?
Still got to do some work on that here this week to see if I can put together you know, a couple ideas in terms of how this could go, because the plan's going to have to be flexible, right? Like,
yep.
Brett Veach, the Kansas City Chiefs GM, expressed optimism yesterday that his team could extend the contract of Trey Smith. Is that going to actually happen? Because if Trey Smith is interested in collecting every last dollar, which is certainly his right, it would seem a little unlikely that he lands back with the Chiefs. But you know, if he likes the idea of staying there, if he's put down roots, if he connects with teammates and the coaching staff and loves the idea of continuing to play with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback, maybe he takes a little bit of a discount. I don't know. There's got to be some contingencies. I think they'll be aggressive, you know. I don't know if that Panthers model is a great one. Like, you're going to struggle to find folks that think paying Robert Hunt $100 million over 5 years was a great move. Now, the Panthers, you overpay in free agency by nature, and the Panthers probably had to pay a tax on top of that for being the Panthers, you know, right, as bad as they've been recently. But I can tell you that during this past season, guys kind of, you know, shook their head at that, and that's the kind of contract that's going to ensure that Trey Smith is making, you know, 20-plus. A lot of people think the number's $22 million a year.
Hmm. You know, I got to tell you, the problem you have is they've got three guys who started games last year heading to free agency. The problem that you have is that you effectively have one starter on your offensive line that you feel good about, that you hear good things about. That's not a knock on Braxton Jones, but he's been hurt and he's recovering, and his recovery is on schedule, but we know how that works, right? So I think that the Bears need to draft offensive linemen, and they need to sign a couple of them anyway out of free agency. There's no way around it. They just – and they, how many sacks was it? 68?
68, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So now some of that's on the quarterback, as he's admitted, but come on now. They got to do something. They really need to invest in those positions.
Yeah, they're going to have to put together a combination of – free agents and draft picks at that position, and it's not just about five. Like, if you heard one of the things that Ben Johnson said yesterday, it's having, I think his numbering was like 6, 8, 9, 10 or so. Yeah, like, you know, yep, preparing for some of the attrition that's going to be natural. Now, hopefully the attrition won't be quite as high because Tevin Jenkins will be in another team's uniform. But you need to be prepared to have other guys who can step in and play. And they've just got a spot here where, yeah, they've got to have guys. Now, that's somewhat preferable, I think, to having a bunch of guys that you still owe some money to that you need to replace, like guys that are bad players that you kind of got to keep. So they've got spots wide open. There's going to be competition, and the finished product of the offensive line, like what it's going to look like, is going to be unclear 2 weeks into free agency, because you know that more parts are coming via the draft.
So, Brad, I think neither Ben Johnson nor Ryan Pohl said anything that created a huge headline, and maybe that's the good news. But did anything they say surprise you or force you to take a second look at something you hadn't considered?
Not really. Like, I thought it was pretty, you know, pretty cut and dry. You know, Pohl's, to his credit, is generally pretty forthright in these types of settings. Like, he's not going to give you the whole game plan, but you get what I think are earnest answers. They may not agree with them, but you get an earnest answer. And, you know, yesterday, just there, I didn't think there was a ton there. But again, maybe that's a good thing. You know, they're not having a lottery for the first pick. Like they're not taking offers like they did a couple of years ago. Now, does that mean they won't trade from number 10? Of course not. Anything can happen. They don't have the number one pick. You don't have people delirious trying to figure out what's going to happen with Justin Fields when if you didn't watch football with blinders on, you'd know what was going to happen. So, yeah, it was pretty kind of watered down yesterday, I guess, is how I'd describe it. Mm-hmm. But that, again, not a bad thing.
When they finally, you know, get, I guess it's March 12th, when they come out of their conclave and are ready to go start making those decisions, it was interesting to hear their talk about the defensive line. Particularly, I thought when I heard what Ben Johnson said about talking to Dennis Allen and about how the pass rush is twofold. It's obviously the getting pressure. They both want to affect the quarterback, is the way he put it. And there are two ways to do it. One would be obviously attacking him with a defensive end, an interior rush. Another would be by knocking the receivers off course via the secondary and the corners. And he talked about the relationship between the secondary and the defensive line. Aren't there needs as much on the defensive line as anywhere on the defense?
On the defense, certainly. Yeah. And I think they've got legitimate needs overall on the defensive line. It doesn't quite match where they're at on the O-line. But depending on how things shake out in free agency, depending on what their draft grades look like, you couldn't rule out an edge rusher in round one. But boy, they got a hit on it. And I've written about this in the last couple of years. Like it is absurd how they have had to outsource their pass rushing needs for the longest time. Mm. Like you look at the leading pass rusher on the Bears in terms of it, just sacks, and I know that's not the only part to it, but it's been a guy who came via trade, free agency, you name it, for almost all of the last 20 seasons. And they need somebody to go with Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat's got to be better. But yeah, they've got to get help on that defensive line. And I don't know what it looks like. Like, is it a high draft pick? Is it a veteran who you're hoping to, that's kind of a bridge guy? Like, I think we talked about it at the beginning of this week or in the last week. Like, I think I look at Khalil Mack as sort of like it's not a perfect example, but the defensive version of Keenan Allen this year. Like, why would the Bears do that? But they've got to get somebody. That being said, they've got to get somebody. Okay. I just saw this morning Harold Landry's been given permission to seek a trade from the Tennessee Titans, and he's got, I don't know, close to 30 sacks over the last three seasons, but he's not a difference maker. Like, and that's ultimately what they need.
Well, good segue, Brad, and don't scoff. I want to ask the question. So Jonathan Allen has also been given permission to seek a trade. He is a difference maker. He's a guy that in the center of any defense is going to command a lot of attention. He also has also played alongside Montez Sweat in Washington. What about him as a possibility for Ryan Poles to look into?
I think the contract's really high. I believe he's got 1 year left on his deal.
1 year, $15 million, right? Yep.
It's only 15. For some reason, I thought it was higher than that. Coming off injury, I just what are you doing after this year, right? You know, what are you doing moving forward? It's a really good draft, I think, for defensive tackles. So I think they'd be better off doing that. But how aggressive do they want to be? Do they is there some organizational pressure? Do they feel that, and I'm just, this is just brainstorming, okay? Mm-hmm. This isn't an idea or anything I've been told, but does the stadium push suddenly become a little bit easier if they're winning some more football games? I don't know. But Jonathan Allen, that you're talking about a real short-term fix, guy who missed most of last season with an injury. I mean, great football player, high-character guy. I just don't know if it's the right time and place for him in Chicago.
What else are you learning? I mean, you were there for all of these meet and greets, etc. There are some interesting stories around the combine. What's the number one story? Is it Abdul Carter not physically able to perform at the combine? Is it the number of quarterbacks that will get drafted who shouldn't be? I mean, what seems to be what you're hearing in the hallways?
Yeah, I've been talking to people. I haven't been talking to a lot of people about the quarterbacks, just because the Bears aren't going to be a player there. Although I was talking to a guy that with the way the college football season is stretched out now and expanded, I think you're going to see more and more players that are at the combine that decline to work out. Like that normal period that they would have to train for the combine has been reduced because of the college season getting stretched out further and further, and they're going to decide, you know what, it's not best for me, I'll do it at the pro day. So I think that could be one fallout from what the college football powers that be have done. Been talking to a lot of people about offensive linemen. You know, they're not a great draft for left tackles. Will Campbell at LSU the best, but he's not Joe Alt, like the Notre Dame product that went to the Chargers last year. And you know, it was interesting. I was talking to a GM yesterday about how you put the puzzle together, and this guy's got a team that needs some help on the offensive line as well. And, you know, he was mentioning how, you know, they get overpaid. And if you need one, you've got to be comfortable with that. You've got to brace yourself for doing that. But then he said, he's like, listen, it's not to the same level of quarterbacks in the draft. He said, but they get pushed up draft boards and overvalued too, because they're in such demand that, so you'll have teams that will reach for an offensive lineman in the draft where the guy probably shouldn't have gone quite that high. And he was just kind of talking about how you try to manage that. And I thought it was interesting because we all know that you're overpaying in free agency, especially at the outset. But him saying that there's an element of that quarterback thing where they're overdrafted, I thought was pretty interesting.
So, Brad, yesterday Ben Johnson said some nice things about DeAndre Swift and referring to him as an explosive player. But I wonder, when you look at their options at running back, maybe to complement Swift, free agency, there's Chubb, there's Najee Harris as possible options. But the draft is deep with running backs, not at number 10 necessarily. But what do you think that they're leaning toward in terms of having a complement to DeAndre Swift?
I think you're looking for a tone setter, an attitude guy, right? Like, look at what David Montgomery provides for the Lions. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs is a guy with much greater traits than David Montgomery as a running back. But Montgomery kind of sets the tone for that offense. So I think you're looking for that physical, punishing guy that can really help you beat up on an opposing defense. I think that's your goal. You're not looking for the lightning guy. You're looking for the thunder, right? I think that's what you're seeking in a running back, and I think they ought to be able to find one in this draft.
Do you think that there is a position or a type of player from Detroit that the Bears just simply lack right now that they might want to add? And I'm not picking on anyone or pointing at anyone in particular, but I'm just curious. When you say you want playmakers all over the field, who's a playmaker that we don't give enough credit to?
I mean, shoot. Okay, Aiden Hutchinson.
Well, that, I mean, that's the guy you need. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But they aren't throwing
really,
on the vine.
Yeah, they had great production from the interior of their defensive line as well. You know what? Slot receiver, right? Like
that's good.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, like that. That's players not on this roster now. Does that make it a top need for him? I don't know. You know, he's putting together a new offense here. He's not sending the assist over to the FedEx store to just Xerox.
No, I'm just talking about a type of guy. Yeah. He can't do what he did there. He doesn't have that here.
But I think when you talk about a player type, that explosive slot receiver would be one. Like, we could go across the offensive line and a couple of those guys on the defensive line in Detroit that they lost to injuries. Aleem McNeil's one of them, and obviously Hutchinson. Those are some bad guys to go against.
Great stuff, Biggsy. Enjoy yourself down there.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. You get a lot of buzz in the hallways.
Well, there's a lot going on around the league. There's a lot of different stories that are emerging, big ones too, involving the quarterback position. We'll talk about some of those when we come back.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Declan, so great story about him. I ended up calling John Morton, who took the OC job at Detroit. He'd worked with Declan the last couple of years, and I asked him, I said, hey, how's Declan doing? Is he ready to be a coordinator? He said, Ben, listen, he's another Ben Johnson, which I think that's a good thing. I'm banking on that being a good thing. So listen, I think he and I are a match made in heaven. He thinks very much like me. It's been awesome getting him into the building the last few weeks, and extremely detailed, extremely organized. The age does not matter. He is going to be respected by not only the players, but also his fellow coaches as well. I can already see that coming into place with the coaching staff meetings that we're having right now. He's very well informed.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That, of course, is the voice of Ben Johnson, learning of another Ben Johnson.
High praise.
Hiring Declan Doyle.
High praise indeed.
It is high praise. I really enjoyed some of the conversation, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to reference something he said, and I'm not sure where he said it, because he talked so many different places. But he talked about hiring his coaching staff, and one of the things that he was looking for with his offense wasn't just the people that he had worked with in Detroit, although he brought a couple of those guys with him. But he said he wanted somebody that knew what was going on in Denver, what Sean Payton likes to do, somebody that had worked at Kansas City, how Kansas City liked to move things. I thought it was really interesting that he wanted to have people that were trained in offensive football differently than he was.
Yeah, I think it's really good observation. Self-awareness is hard to find in people. I really believe that. When you find someone as self-aware as Ben Johnson, it stands out because of that. And he's very much a guy who knows what he doesn't know, and he doesn't have the head coaching experience. And that's the only category I think that we can say he lacks, because everything else he appears to do very well. And he has had success doing, calling plays, coordinating an offense, and having success as an NFL coach. But surrounding himself with guys who are familiar with the way things are done at winning organizations is smart. It's really smart. And it's also self-deprecating, because it makes you it brings an element of humility to the equation.
Yes.
And that's too often missing in guys
that we deal
with.
I don't have all the answers. I have the answers I've come up with. Someone else had a different answer. Let's see what that's like.
I may sound like I know everything, but I don't know everything. And he doesn't.
The reason he sounds like he knows everything is because he's interested in everything and wants to know everything.
That's exactly right. And so he is seeking for, he's always trying to solve that equation, the ultimate mathematician. Solve for X. That'll be the name for his, name of his autobiography. I like that he mentioned Sean Payton. I like that he referenced Andy Reid. And I like that he wasn't afraid to go there and say that Declan Doyle, one person told him, reminded him of a younger Ben Johnson, which is hilarious, because Ben Johnson, not even 40.
Yeah.
Declan Doyle, not even 30.
Yeah,
but this is the fun that was had yesterday when Ben Johnson did all the talking, and I think made really good, strong impressions and made people feel better about the direction the Bears are headed.
And we do have that cut, don't we? So let's take a look. Was this from the NFL Network? I think he was on with Bruce Murray, if I recall.
What's so beautiful about the coaching staff that we put together is I didn't hire a bunch of my friends. I went outside of my circle on purpose because I wanted to collect a different mix of experience, of energy, ideas, and we're all going to make it come together, and it's going to be the Chicago Bears going forward. And so it can look a number of different ways. Eric Bieniemy's got a lot of experience in the gun run game and what they did in Kansas City, obviously. And Declan has a lot of success from the Sean Payton tree. And Press Taylor has a lot of success from the Chip Kelly all the way on. And so we've got a lot of library, if you will, to draw from. And we'll see it all come together once we get our hands on these guys.
See, he answered that so much better than I remembered it. I'm very happy we found that.
I like the library reference.
Yes, great.
I like the library reference because it makes you feel like he knows where all the books are stacked.
Yes.
And how to access that information whenever he needs it. And so he's got a wealth of information at his disposal and a lot of experience that he brings to the staff that is important when you're a first-time head coach. You cannot underestimate the value of having someone realize or know what they don't know.
That's well said.
It really is so important to have a head coach like that. It makes you feel a little bit better about the fact that he hasn't been a head coach before. He's not trying to prove a point by, I can do this myself, I'm this smart because they hired me, why else would they have hired me? It's like, well, now that I have this responsibility, now that I have this opportunity, I'm going to make the most of it by surrounding myself with people who have been exposed to the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Again, there were so many moments like that because he did make the circuit and talk to a lot of different people. And we've already listened to one with, was that with Rappaport? Who was that with? At one point we played, I think there was, that one was with Bruce. I think that there are a lot of different stops, and he was asked similar questions, but there were little kernels at every stop.
Yep.
This guy's going to be someone you got to follow.
You got to follow.
You got to follow. If I'm covering the team now, I got to follow him around the room and sit there and just keep picking up other quotes.
You referenced during the 5:30 segment, none of it is
rehearsed.
Did that
make the air? Did we get that on the air?
I hope we got that on the air before we went dark for a little bit. But I think that when you talk about not being rehearsed and being authentic, you do have to pay attention because you never know what's going to come next. Mm. Whereas some guys, you know what's coming next. And you tune out because I've heard that story before with Ben Johnson early on. You're never sure. You're never sure. Maybe this will all die down and things will wear off and the honeymoon will be over by training camp. Don't know. Don't care. Right now, everything he says is relevant. And whenever he talks, it's potentially newsworthy because you never know what he's going to say.
Yeah. No, he is excellent. And I thought he did a really good job yesterday. Now, there's a ton of work to do. He talked about that, too. Talked about sitting in on some of the personnel meetings and feeling that the Bears got a good thing going, that they're in good shape with understanding what their strengths are, their weaknesses, understanding what players they need and what they got to get done. But now we got to see it happen. And you know, Biggsy made a great point about the idea that you can't do it in one off season. You can't. You really can't. So you got to prioritize what your needs are. I think right now we know that the priority should be in the trenches, both sides of the ball. That's the priority.
I agree with that. That's why I was a little surprised that Brad poo-pooed the whole Jonathan Allen conversation. I think it's understandable. The cost is potentially prohibitive. I understand that he's a 30-year-old defensive tackle coming off an injury-plagued season. I also know that you need to work on and prioritize the trenches if you're the Bears.
You are absolutely right.
You got to pick up the phone. You got to figure out what the price is.
I felt he more or less rejected the player rather than poo-pooed the whole idea.
Because of the injury history?
I'm just making fun of the word poo-pooed.
Poo-poo?
I've never really heard that in a
sentence.
It's
a verb that I use when talking about Biggsy because he often poo-poos many of my ideas. And I don't know why.
I love that it's a word you use exclusively for
It's pretty much exclusive to Brad because it just fits.
So perhaps we would have had a different answer had Mully asked the question as opposed to you.
What do you think? I do think so.
Wow.
I do think so.
that's unfair and that's mean-spirited.
It's not easy. It's none of those.
So tomorrow, tomorrow you guys should change sheets and see how the reaction is.
Listen,
to the question.
I told you the washing machine arrives today. I'm going to wash all the sheets. Just get off my rear end about it.
I don't think he gave me a different answer.
A lot
just
of
because
rear
I
end talk during the segment.
I just was a little surprised. Do you think Jonathan Allen is
I think,
washed?
You know,
so
I don't know. I don't believe he's washed since we're on this whole washing machine problem.
I don't think he is either.
I don't think he's washed. I think a guy like that has good years and has down years. If it's injury related, I wouldn't hold it against him. I think he's a hell of a football player. I also wonder if you're, you know, wouldn't you want like the younger version of him? Is there anyone in this draft that you could say you could develop into that sort of a guy for years to come?
Both.
Right? Yeah, and both is a good answer.
Both.
Because you could again, it depends on if it's only money, you could fix a problem rather than have to give up stuff. I don't think they're in a position where they can do much trading, much wheeling and dealing. Now I feel like if there are people that fit what they want to do, you could throw money at a year and then draft somebody. But they've got to win. You have to win in the draft because free agency is all about draft mistakes.
You
end up paying a price, a very expensive one, to cover a mistake you made while drafting.
But you know how the league works. A 30-year-old defensive tackle coming off an injury season in the trade market is not going to be as expensive as if he were 5 years younger and had more controllable years on his deal.
I agree with that.
So that to me doesn't say the Bears are priced out of that conversation in terms of the draft capital it would take to get Jonathan Allen in Chicago.
But
it's something you've got to consider.
But if I'm Washington and I needed a Hail Mary to beat the Bears, and I'm looking at one of my guys who I think is a pretty decent player, I'm not aiding them to get to a point where they can beat me because they're in the same conference I'm in. I think the price for him would be higher for a team like the Bears that maybe they don't view them as on the come or anything like that.
The up-and-coming competitor tax?
Maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe if you're looking at Ben Johnson, you're thinking, this guy's going to get the offense right. Let's not help
Perhaps.
Him on defense.
Maybe,
I don't know if you're doing that.
I think a draft pick is a draft
I'd do
pick
that.
When
I
you're
would
talking
do
about compensation. If you're getting, what would it take? Third-round pick?
That's a high pick.
Fourth-round pick?
David, I don't know if you are aware, and I hate to tell you.
I'm thinking out loud.
But listen to me. They didn't get the extra third-round pick. It didn't happen.
I know they did not.
I am heartbroken about it. I haven't talked much about it.
They don't maybe want to draft anybody in the third round because they haven't had recent success doing so.
They should give away the third-rounder because then they don't have the indignity of drafting Velus
Jones. That's why it's a good idea to at least offer that possibly. I don't know. That might be a little high for 1 year of that Jonathan Allen. Certainly it would be.
And you got to pay him $15 million.
Unless you renegotiate his deal and you get 2 or 3 year deal. I don't know. It's a conversation worth having because what we're finding out at the combine, which is typical of every year at the NFL combine / convention.
Yes.
Veteran players are being shopped. Harold Landry, you mentioned this morning from the Titans. We talk about Jonathan Allen, Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford. There's one report out there that Tom Brady has inquired or let Matthew Stafford's camp know that the Raiders would be a good landing spot for that veteran quarterback. There's a lot of talking going on behind the scenes, not to mention the least of which, March 10th is when the legal tampering period will begin, I believe. A lot of those deals are being set up right now.
I heard Pete Carroll talking with the NFL Network yesterday on my car radio, Dustin, you'll be pleased to know. And I mean, just listening to the interview and the way they were talking about him coming in, and he was talking about how it reminded him a little of getting to Seattle and knowing that there was work to be done. But if ever there was a player that represents everything that the Oakland Raiders stand for, it's Max Crosby. I got to tell you, I couldn't wait to get home just to get the helmet on and run into a filing
cabinet. See, that's
cabinet.
What Pete Carroll does.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what Pete Carroll does.
And I thought about that a little bit. I thought about if he had come here,
oh my,
we'd all be running into filing cabinets this morning.
But you know
what,
though?
He's real good.
Bears fans really kind of are anyway.
I feel like the Bears won. I feel like they got a good
Ben match. Johnson has people excited. Maybe not to run into filing cabinets or brick walls, but they've got them feeling very good about their head coach.
You know, normally the Bears get you to run into your car and then slam the door on your head several times. So this is a good
change.
That
was the Flusi era.
There's similar damage done, but it's a good change.
It's a good change. Yeah, that's progress.
312-644-6767. We got some people who want to check in. It's Mully and Haw. It is Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
I think Brexton did a good job. Obviously, you never want guys to go through injuries, and we got to see how he comes on the other side of this. I know everything's been progressing and on schedule, and he's doing a good job with that, and he's been very active with rehabbing and getting back on his feet. So I think, again, that's another spot where it's going to be competition, and you build the best five, or the line with the best five guys. So we'll see how that goes through this offseason and training camp.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. That's the general manager. That's Ryan Poles. And he's telling you, you put the best five out there. They've got the one. So now they just need the loaves and fish the thing up.
Buddy. All right. Yeah, I need some help here. Talk me through this. I want to know the right way to view Braxton Jones and his return and how much to count on him. Because I think I went into this offseason maybe cavalierly dismissing the possibility that he would come back, and boy, he needs replaced because they need to revamp the entire offensive line. Upon further review, maybe that's a little hasty. Maybe that's a little impractical because, as you pointed out this morning, and I think I was, you know, Clay Harbor at CHSN also has talked to me about this. Braxton Jones, number one, maybe not as bad as everybody thought, but number two, as you pointed out, replacing four guys on an offensive line is quite ambitious and maybe not that great of an idea.
That's
so
not a good idea.
Should we be counting? Should the Bears be counting on him to win that competition that he receives from maybe Amagaji or a draft pick and maybe penciling him in as your experienced left tackle?
Yes, you want him to play left tackle. You're not going to win because of him, but you're not going to lose because of him. He's a solid left tackle, especially as a pass blocker. He's not a road grader. You're not going to run behind him necessarily. I don't want to be cruel to him, but he's developed an ability to be better as a pass blocker. So he's got a big body, long arms, all that stuff. So if you draft a Will Campbell, you could start him on the at guard and move him outside. I'm just saying, if it's about
that's
your five.
That's a very interesting possibility.
If it's about your five.
Yeah.
Then and we heard Ryan Poles just say it is. Then sign a couple guys in free agency. Maybe draft a couple guys in the draft. And then you'll have a potpourri, if you will.
I love potpourri. Yeah. I would not poo-poo the potpourri. I think it's a really good word. Well used. When you look at his salary, does that factor into your decision-making? Because he's only set to make $3.35 million next year.
Of course. He's on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
He's on a contract for a fifth-round pick, and you got another year of that. So if you do indeed decide that he's one of your best five, that's his best position. So leave him there. Rocket surgery. I think it's something that any of us morons can figure out, which is you don't want to make two moves for one. You don't want to make everyone uncomfortable. You want to stop the sacks. That means you've got to work with the quarterback and you've got to make sure that he is not overwhelmed every time they play. As whoever said it the other day, we all watched the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
right? We all saw what happened when you overwhelm a team. It doesn't matter how good the quarterback is.
And I think that when you look at his injury, not that anybody is minimizing the
pain and the recovery process of a fractured fibula, but it's viewed as one of those injuries that you can return to full strength from. It's not one of those debilitating, career-threatening injuries.
You know, I can't believe I'm going to say this because I really have no, I don't even have a first cousin who's a doctor, so I can't, you know, pretend that I know all sorts of medical things. I will say that generally speaking, if you get a badly sprained ankle, I mean like a you know, really badly sprained ankle, that's worse than having a broken bone. That the bones, it's just a question of time and how they heal. And apparently it was a fairly straightforward, it's not like he needed a bunch of metal screws or anything. So he should be able, with time, to recover from that injury as opposed to having it, you know, completely there for the rest of his career. Obviously, he's broken a bone in his body and not, never something to brag about, but get the cast signed and move on, son.
And when he moved, when he went down against the Lions, you feared much worse.
Yeah.
So this is encouraging news, and I think it, you talk about receiving competition, great. It sounds like he may be in a position to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see. But I do think
I'll
it's
wait and
just,
see.
You know, my God, the idea, let's move the right tackle to the left spot and let's
not
sign a guy and move him. You know,
no,
calm down. Everybody calm down. You are what you are. You have what you have, and you got to find five guys that can play. And believe it or not, you need guys that really want to play and are going to work hard. And sometimes that group dynamic will work for an offensive line when people don't understand how it could.
Five as one. That's a good point. Bruce Levine is coming up at 8:25. You want to talk some baseball next when we
you
come
know,
back?
I want to talk. Something miraculous happened at Sox camp yesterday. One of the great moments of the White Sox spring, and we haven't discussed it yet. We'll do so next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.